Good afternoon. Ah, there we go. Reverb. Good afternoon. As you can see from the slide, my name is Lou Zuli, and we are going to be taking a look at a story of some wonderful young men and women at the Center for Advanced Technologies, a public magnet program in St. Petersburg, Florida. Now, before we go much farther, I want to say that I am known to be passionate at times, and occasionally I might launch into some colorful metaphors. So in a way to make sure I don't go into those colorful metaphors, whenever you hear me say something like, by George, or oh golly, it will be your imagination to say what colorful metaphor I'm using, okay? But a little about us. We are a public magnet program of 600 students at capacity at the Center for Advanced Technology at Lakewood High School. It's the southernmost point in Hillsborough and Pinellas County, Florida. We're right at the tip of the peninsula. You go up to the roof, you could see the Tampa Bay, the Gulf of Mexico. It really is a wonderful location. We have been a chartered, we were formed in 1990, a federal charter to help with desegregation. And part of the charter was that the school system had to renew and become had to renew us and had to keep the program in place. Well, you know, if we weren't successful, then it would have gone away. And we've been very successful since 1991 when we opened our first doors for our first class. What we're going to talk about are the students, the young men and women in my network assistance, network systems administrator class. These young men and women are between the ages of 15, 16, 17, and 18. I occasionally take a sophomore at 14 years old. In fact, I usually grab them out of another class because they have a specific skill set, and you'll meet one of them a little later. These students go through a job interview to work with me. They fill out an application online. That application is in SharePoint. They actually fill it out. They have to get two letters of recommendation. They go through an interview process. They write an essay about what they can bring to our program, what they hope to get out of the program. And then I base that, base the decision based on the answers and the face-to-face interview. We collaboratively research and integrate specifically designed solutions. We are there for the campus community, and that's very important because everything that you see is not just designed to be used in the classroom. It's real-world applications designed to solve a specific problem or help efficiency and management on the campus. So these students are doing real-world work. Here's our SharePoint history. They asked me, how long have you been working with SharePoint, Lou? And I signed on there on the wall. We've been using it since 2001. We've used it as our LMS. It's always been our solution to have an LMS. So straight on down the line, all the way to SharePoint Online and Office 365 today, we've gone through every iteration. And if you'll notice, there it is. There's SharePoint. You don't see many of those boxes hanging around anymore. Class server, all of the books that we use, that's our curriculum. That's how we do it. People go, 2001? I go, yeah, it's been a long trip, but a very rewarding one, especially when the development side of our program took off, especially when SharePoint Server 2010 came out, and then again the quantum leap of 2013, and now SharePoint Online. I can't begin to tell you the quantum leaps that my students have been able to accomplish. And you'll, as I said, you'll see some of those. And as I'm walking back and forth, understand that I'm an educator of 37 years, so I don't like sitting still. Let's take a look at our first solution. This is our teacher LMS. It's catnip. We're the cat program, so how else can you have something as wonderful as catnip? Our students named this back in 2001. The Center for Advanced Technologies News and Information Portal. It is the hub of everything for the CAT program. Now, you're going to see that on our campus, we have two specific instances of SharePoint. We have SharePoint for the CAT program, which is catnip. Then we have an instance of SharePoint for the rest of the entire campus that does all of the campus management solutions that affect everybody. But catnip has been our standard since 2001. It has been always based in SharePoint, and it has been generally our information hub and our teacher learning management system. Assignments, documents, course outlines. As SharePoint has grown in its capability, so have what we've been using it for: video work, videos, audio clips. All of those things that would be necessary in a classroom are being housed and delivered via SharePoint. And more importantly, I do none of the work. All of the students, everything that you see is done all by the students. So here we have SharePoint 2010 out of the box, straight out of the box with minimal branding. That was 3 years ago. SharePoint 2010 is our center one. It is still SharePoint 2010, but now we've customized it using customized master pages. We've added a lot of different features to it. That center one went live on October 14th of last year. Does anybody remember what happened on October 14th last year? Thereabouts, October 14th or 15th? Windows 8 hit. Those tiles, you don't see them here, they're live tiles. They actually react as a live tile did. We shot these screenshots, and we also sent some of the links up to some contacts of ours in Microsoft, and it kind of made the rounds up there. We were told that it was extremely, they loved the fact that the day they launched, we launched a website that had live tiles. So as you see, we have the heavily branded 2010 experience. The far one is our SharePoint Online experience. This is what our landing page for catnip is now. That's up online. That's using master pages, using design tool built right into SharePoint Online, Design Master. Students have done all that work. As you see, you can see the sophistication of the presentation growing with each specific version. We get to the teacher LMS, and this is the crux of everything that we use SharePoint for. Now, of course, we use it for general announcements. We use it for specific calendar events that affect the entire CAT program. We have forms and online forms and PDFs and documents stored, all the reasons why you use SharePoint. However, this is where we get to the meat of it. This, the teacher LMS, has become very important. And because it's virtual, it allows our teachers to do a great deal of different 21st century education. Students have access to this. They expect to have access to it. They want to know what the assignments have. And as you see right here, these are their assignment calendars. This is Mr. Tenza. He's our computer science teacher. And you can see every single assignment that he's giving. Well, you know, students need to be able to recognize that. Some of the students, they'll actually take that and overlay it through a SharePoint connection on their exchange, on their Outlook, on their email out, their Exchange Outlook connection, so that they can see it right in Outlook. Others depend on a few of the other applications that we have developed to get to this information. See, our purpose is to give our students every available way to be successful. And that means giving them access to this information. And when it all comes down to it, that's what this is a way to share that information. The lessons they learn about building these solutions and the way real-world interaction from students and parents translates to every walk of corporation, higher education, everything that you want to be able to do with this product, they're learning about this product. And they are creating some incredible solutions. But basically, it's to get to this information to help them make successful. Now, as you see, we have email-enabled drop boxes. And that goes with the student. That stays constant. So a teacher will always have, let's just take Mr. Tenza. His email for period one is tenzap1@cat.pcsb.org. So a student's going to, bam, email his assignment right to that email-enabled Dropbox. Or tenzap2, tenzap3. The beautiful part is no matter how Mr. Tenza's schedule changes, it's always going to be that address. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel every single year. The same with our calendaring. When we set up the different views, we have that's the one thing that'll change, is if Mr. Tenza teaches a different computer science course, well, we either add a view or we make one view disappear, so that the only views that you're going to be seeing in that course are the views that you are really concerned about. I'm showing you his entire calendar, but a student will only choose the course calendar that he is enrolled or she is enrolled in. We also incorporated online textbooks so that the student doesn't have to bring a textbook to class. And as we progress even farther, our goal is to get rid of the backpack. We want them to have a one-to-one experience with a tablet, and that is coming, so that they can get rid of the backpack and live in a virtual environment. So, this is now our SharePoint Online LMS. We have, as you see, we have a rebranded personal site. One of our students, Chris Woodle, who you saw in the video if you were at the keynote, he has created this. HTML5, you use ASP.NET, C#, JavaScript, just as that. A mini calendar pulls the link meeting data and parses it into this calendar and only uses the link meeting data so that when the teacher is going to have a specific after-school help session or virtual office hours, it'll appear on this calendar, and then they will be able to take that and say, hey, look, Mr. Tenza, Mr. Zuli has this meeting, very easy to access. Click on it, boom, go. Or even subscribe to an alert when this calendar is, when something changes on this calendar. Assignment uploads, Chris has finished this up, he's just gonna work out a few bugs, is a custom app that works. He said, I've got to design something very much like OneDrive and how we upload things to OneDrive so that we can just have it very easy and goes right into the email-enabled Dropboxes so that if a student is doesn't want to use email, all they have to do is click. It goes right to the Dropbox. They jump it, pop it in. And, of course, we've incorporated all of the textbooks as well. This is online. This is done just for Office 365. Now, If you really are sitting out there and you're a student or you're a parent and you want to know what your assignment was and you can't remember, what do you do? Well, by George, you look at a specific thing. You look at this. Students are living in this. So what we created was a mobile app. All three main mobile app stores. And it takes the information from, let's see, all my videos are working, great. It takes all the information from SharePoint, accesses it. All that information that you saw online in lists and calendar lists are now being accessed and parsed and created mobile applications so that the student is never more than a click away from that data. You know what you talk about unintended consequences? Guess who's downloaded this app just as many times as our students? Parents. Parents, absolutely. I've gotten emails saying, thank you. Now I know what my student's supposed to be doing, when they're supposed to be doing it, and how it's supposed to be turned in. As you see in these demonstrations, all they do is pick the teachers that they are enrolled, you know, that they have as teachers, the instructors, that goes out, fetches that specific subset of data, and presents it in the view particular to that platform. Three students worked on this. Each one, we had a team of mobile app developers, each one focused on a specific platform. The middle iOS one was done by a sophomore named Zach Shea. He's a senior now, and there's a good story about Zach that we'll get to, because we ran into a very specific problem in a different solution that he was able to take care of because of his love for Objective-C. Actually, nobody loves Objective-C. It was just, he just knows how to work with it. So we also take that data and present it in a different form factor. Not everybody's going to have their cell phone or smartphone, but they might have access to a browser. So we presented it in browser format. Parents do not like to log in. I'm telling you right now, parents do not like to log in to portals. We all know that. So we are trying to find a way to present this data without having them to log in. Well, my students and I sat down and we hashed this problem out, and they came up with a very elegant and simple solution. And I don't mind giving it to you. We took the feed from those calendars, isolated it as an anonymous access, turned it into an RSS feed, and then took the RSS feed and reformatted it in this, just like this. So they wrote all the code that takes that information, and we'll just click through here. And this is on our forward-facing website, which is also based, is also SharePoint. Now, what you're seeing right now is the SharePoint, this version of SharePoint has already been transferred to SharePoint Online. When we go live, it's going to have a different look and feel. I said I don't want to keep the same stuff that was on our on-prem, so they're working on the different branding of it. It just wasn't there to give you a screenshot of, so we're using the video from it as branded as the old style. But that is sitting up online now, because all of this is client-side code. None of it is sitting in specially designed web parts, as you see. So they click through, they find the teacher, they click on it, they'll see all of the assignments. They click on those assignments. If there is a attached document, they're able to download the attached document. And voila, you have got an easy way to get to their class assignments. Again, we started getting so many email from parents saying thank you again. This is something even our district has looked at and said, how do we adapt that? And I said very simply, adapt it with SharePoint. So, this is a very unique, I mean, this assignment right here was created by a very, very, very unique young lady who you met in our video, Lauren Hastings. Two years ago, during the summer of 2011, 2012 school year, so it had been summer of 2012 actually, she came in and she says, Mr. Zulli, I'd like a project and I know what I would like to do. And I go, Lauren, what do you want? And she held up this piece of paper, which was how our students selected their courses. And she says, there has to be a better way of doing this. It's ridiculous to have to sit there and write and just choose and circle something on a piece of paper and turn it in. She goes, we are the Center for Advanced Technologies. Can't we do this better? And I go, Lauren, I think you've just came up with your project. Do it better. So she came up with our academic planner. Now, our academic planner is very unique. It is a web application built for CAT that allows students to submit a schedule request, well, not a schedule request, a form of courses to be taken to the CAT guidance counselor. The CAT guidance counselor then takes that information and approves it or sends it back saying, no, you're not meeting your requirements on this. Once it is approved, it automatically triggers a workflow that dumps it into our student information system schedule request bucket. This application was written entirely by this one young lady. I'm going to give you a demonstration of that right now. You notice that it is actually movable tiles. Everything is in there, going into specific divs, drag and drop, all the electives. Now, here's a good one. It actually knows when you've taken a semester-long class and then gives you the corresponding area, block area for under that class to say you need another semester course. Once it's done, you hit save, it saves it. You can access that at any time. Once you hit submit, you see what happens there. You've got a nice printed view of it. That's when you hit submit, it sends it back to, it triggers the workflow, sends an email to our CAT guidance counselor. Guidance counselor sees that email, clicks on the link in the email. It brings up in another view everything that the student has requested to take. Again, if the CAT guidance counselor says it's okay, it clicks accept and dumps it into the SIS system. I'd say that's really doing it better, don't you? Instead of having a piece of paper. This is what we are about. We are trying to solve specific issues and design specific solutions for our school. No theoretical experiments done. And there's a reason for this. The students know what they're working on is just for a classroom exercise and it's not really going to be seen or used. These students know that they are making a lasting impression on our campus and they're leaving a lasting legacy. And to them, that means more than anything. That was a soapbox moment. So you notice that catnip and everything built in catnip is around, is there for a purpose, and that is learning management. All the solutions you saw was a way to get the learning management and academic data out to the students in one way, shape, or form. It was also designed to facilitate academic planning. That's catnip. Our second installation is LHSNet. That's Lakewood High School's Information and Collaboration Intranet. It is used basically for campus management, campus announcements, campus calendaring, event calendaring, specific department information that's needed. And only now, as we go into 2013 on-prem, are we going to be adding the same type of academic calendaring for the teachers, because they have, our principal and admin team and teachers have requested it. They no longer want to use the district portal system. They actually want to use what we have created. So we're moving them over to SharePoint and using this solution. Now notice the original, that SharePoint 2010 solution, right there. Minimal branding, out of the box, boom. We changed it, we changed a few things, but it's basically using, if you're familiar with SharePoint 2010, it's basically using a modified V4 master. That's it. But my students live with teachers. And by George, I'm going to tell you right now that if you're ever designing a solution, you got to live with teachers. Because teachers can be the most difficult audience you ever want to work with. I'm a teacher, I know. But if that solution, if that technology absolutely doesn't make their life easier, they are not going to use it, because they have 125 crazy adolescents in every way, shape, or form problem that they're bringing in the classroom. So they want it to work easily. What you think, if you're a developer or a district person out there, what you think is easy, it ain't easy. And I fell into, and my students fell into, the exact same trap when we did this. Because we said, okay, it's only 3 clicks to get to that solution. You know what? That was 2 clicks too many. If they didn't have to use something, they didn't use something. So our solution was to redo 2013 like that, right there. That is our new intranet page. 1 click, icons, big, easy to see, data right there, all of it accessible, so that they can see at a glance the most used tool that they're going to use. And what's the first one that they see? The time clock. You notice where we had it before? We had it right there. Little button. Don't forget to clock in today. Now, bam, it's there. They can't miss it. What's the second most used tool? Well, that's exactly it. How do I sign up to use the computer lab? How do I get a mobile lab? That was the second one. Then you go into the teacher lesson planner, all of the lists and documents, the campus hall pass system. You notice that everything on the front are the most used. Then it comes down a little smaller, then announcements, and then we're going to have our other links right there that will be less used but are very important to them. My students lived with them, saw how they were using it, and designed a solution to meet the needs of those teachers. And that's been a common theme with all of our solutions. So if you're a developer out there, please take the time to sit down with whoever you're developing for, and watch and think about how they work. If you're an educator, you have to do the same thing. Don't think about what's going to be making it easy for them in the IT department sitting in the back, even though they're probably the ones that are going to be writing the big check to afford you or to get this. You have to take a look at what's happening out front. And because my students often saw their teachers struggling with something and they were their first line of help desk support, they came back and said, this is what we had to do. They had a design meeting and sat down and said, our next version, and they mapped out all these different versions. They would run them by me, and I'd say, you came up with the criteria. Do you think this meets the criteria? And they go, no. And then I said, well, why are you showing it to me then? So then it was, finally, they settled on this. And I thought it was a very elegant solution for their issue. So all these solutions are in LHSNet. The very first solution that we had to come up with back in 2010, was our teacher lesson planner. Now, our teacher lesson planner is a result of the state of Florida and the Pinellas County School District saying, we want all of our teachers' lesson plans online and available to look at any time. You know what their solution was? They wanted the teacher to take the printed lesson, scan it, turn it into a PDF, and put it someplace on a file share. Well, I'm sitting in this meeting, and I go, oh, golly, no, that's not going to happen. That is just not going to happen. So I came back to my team at the time and said, we have to come up with a better solution, or our teachers are going to go ballistic. So using InfoPath, they designed the online teacher lesson planner. And this is how it works. You notice that it immediately fills in with the teacher's name. So they're accessing Active Directory data services there and taking that information from the login, automatically transferring it to the teacher's name. Now, once they have the teacher's name, it automatically accesses a list of what that teacher's courses are. At that point, it automatically says, okay, this is the course. It loads up the essential benchmarks and the questions for that course as posted by the state of Florida. Then they could go check, add whatever necessary information that you've got there. And excuse me for the video, it's rather jumpy. And then they can submit it. It saves it into an InfoPath form library. Well, that form library is searchable. And I want to thank one of our vendors, one of the vendors here that I say, I'm going to say this publicly, Matt, thank you, because we ran into a search issue and I reached out for a little help, and they walked the students through, not me, creating the search that was necessary to be able to just really find that search so that all of these lesson plans are searchable by alphabetized teacher name. We have a Java list that you just click on it and automatically it's got the search algorithm into it. Bam, it brings back a list of those lessons. Or it's done by course name. So why was this important? What if you're teaching algebra and you want to know what the physics teacher is doing? Now you can work together. Hey, social studies teacher, what are they teaching over in English? Now you can work together. You can start planning all of this information. So, as you see, Visual Studio, InfoPath, HTML, JavaScript, all of that there. But that's not going to work when we go online. It's not going to work in SharePoint 2013. We don't know how long InfoPath is going to work. So what was our solution? At the beginning of this school year, knowing full well that we were designing these solutions, My students said, what are we going to do with these forms? And we have so many InfoPath forms. This is just our most complicated InfoPath form. So we reached out to the designer of this InfoPath form, who is a former student and is a sophomore at the University of Central Florida. And we Skyped in one day, and they asked him the question, Aaron, what are we going to do with our new forms? And his exact comment was, oh, by George, colorful metaphor, don't do InfoPath. So we created our own forms. And it uses the same list and libraries, just migrated over to SharePoint 2013. And it uses the technologies you see on the board. And this is the same form. Take a look at the nice, elegant solution using all client-side code to do the exact same thing InfoPath is doing. And so when this goes live, our students, our teachers, will have the exact same experience as they had in InfoPath. They will be familiar with the look, the feel, the form, and I'm going to tell you something right off the bat. Our testing with it, it is faster, it is easier to work with, and the technology that we have and the methods that we have come up with, the students have come up with, can be transferred to every single form that we are going to have online now. As you can see, it is the exact same way of doing things. This tool, this solution, is probably the one that we have gotten the most recognition for. 2010, actually it was 2011, and it was just after the winter break, and my team, in a down moment, saying, and we had just finished the lesson planner, we were kicking around ideas, and I said something like, you know, guys, it's been a dream of mine since SharePoint 2003 to have an electronic way of issuing and keeping track of hall passes and the people in the hallways of our school. I can't stand paper. I can't stand the methods that teachers send kids out in the halls, and neither could our administrators. Bicycle tires, paddles, you know. One teacher even used an old toilet seat cover. Yeah. They thought they came up with a really good method where they had this large piece of paper and the students would sign out for it and they carry this large slate-like piece of paper with them. And they would get lost. We didn't know who was who. So we did not have a really good method. So they started designing this. They actually sat down and we whiteboarded a complete flowchart of how the entire system was going to work. We needed to figure out how many lists we were going to use, where we were going to get the data for this list. And they started writing the code. After we figured all this out, we started writing the code. It's really rather elegant. We issue a student, and you can see down in the on the corner here, we issue a student a new pass. It's encoded with a magnetic strip on the back that has their student ID number. Now, there's nothing fancy about the student ID number. It's just a reference locator number that the school uses. So there's no data that it can be hacked on it. We also have their yearbook picture so that we now know, as in this case, we now know that Sean Hoffer is Sean Hoffer, Caitlin is Caitlin, and Robert, and Robert. We then issue specific types of exit passes. The middle one is the standard pass. Then if there is a specialized pass that they need, whether they're a teacher assistant or, as you see, a network assistant, they get a specialized pass with a specialized identification on it. And you'll see why in a moment. So you could see that we use standard SharePoint lists, standard SharePoint libraries, just using the technologies that you see up there, all client-side technologies. No crazy web parts, nothing that would be have to be sandboxed. All off-the-shelf code. And you've got our lists, our libraries. The data comes from our student information system. At present, we have to do a manual download, and we do a manual download from the SIS system, and we've run it through a maintenance routine that the kids have written that refreshes this data so that we have the most up-to-date teacher class roster, and you'll see why in a few moments. And we get their pictures straight from a picture library. It's an asset library that's sitting in SharePoint. Now, what's really nice is other solutions are taking and accessing the same data, I mean, the same assets. So if we need a student picture for something, it's going to go from here, going to here. If we need a good faculty information, it's going from the all staff list. So we're reusing the technology, the underlying data, for the exact same, for this program, for all these different other solutions. And by the way, that number, 1,177 hall passes to date, was what was issued since the beginning of school to when I put this deck up into the system. So if you do it by 1,200 students at the entire campus, you realize that what we found out is we're not giving out a lot of hall passes. But what's really cool, when we talk about unintended consequences, we were able to find the hall pass abusers, and we were able to find the teachers that gave out too many hall passes. So it changed behaviors on both ends, professionally and educationally. So you're going to see a nice demo of the hall pass system. You saw bits of it in the system, in the keynote. Student comes in, or they come up to a teacher and says, "Hey, I need to go to the bathroom." Teacher has a USB card reader sitting on their desk, plugged into their computer. Swipe. Student is now the default swipe for the center yellow and black card is to go to the bathroom. Now, we use that swipe at 7 minutes. Why 7 minutes? Because teachers in the very back of our campus actually walked a student to the bathroom, had them stood outside, waited till the student was finished, walked the student back and timed it and said 7 minutes is enough. So there was actually total end user input. I'm telling you, I've got pictures, and I wish I would have thought to put them into the slide deck, of the development team working with the admin team as they're modifying and figuring out what areas of the school people are going to be allowed to go to. You notice that we have a slider of what time, and you notice as this is live, you can see that the bar indicating the time they've been out is counting down. Red means they're long past supposed to be in class. And it goes from green to brown to red. Now, when we first put this out, we had a student of mine, a student of mine comes and says, "Mr. Zuli, teachers love it except for one thing. They had to be live on the video, on the page for the swipe. Now, if they're showing a PowerPoint, they had to interrupt their lesson and they had to do the swipe. Or if they were doing something, they'd have to interrupt it. So he said, can I write a small program that becomes a service on the teacher's computer that intercepts the swipe and sends it through SharePoint to SharePoint to this solution without ever bothering the teacher? And I go, yes, you may. That is a wonderful idea, Robert. He had it done in one night, and we tested it on a group of 10 teachers. He found some bugs. He had the solution done the next night, brought it into school. We tested it again. It worked perfectly. And until teachers changed their password. He fixed it in a real code. We just pushed it out through Active Directory. Bam, group policy. It was out there to every teacher's computer. Didn't have to reload it. They never realized that there was a quick fix, just uninstalled, reinstalled. And now it does not interrupt the flow of the education, of the teacher presentation, or what's going on in the classroom. It's swipe out, in swipe. It works both on the destination side of things and on the teacher's desktop, on the release side of things. Now, we took it all the way down and said, we do not want teachers to be able to have to look for their students. So, using the data that we have built in the scheduling and that data that's sitting there, and I got to tell you, when 2010 came out and my students saw how you can get to the data, how easy it was to get to the data located in those lists and libraries, their eyes got really big. I mean, they got big, and they just realized what they can do. More now with 13. The kids, my students that are working with 13, they are just eating this up. So now you're seeing what they did is they said, okay, we've got the teacher's name, we have their schedule, we're going to associate their kids to their schedule so that the first period students, Mr. Borg's class here, he was one of our computer science teachers, those are the students in his first period class. If he clicks on second, he gets a second set. He doesn't have to look for them. We've done that on the back end for them. We have another version of this called the admin version. The admin version actually shows all of the students in 9, 10, 11, and 12 because that's being accessed by guidance counselors, campus monitors, assistant principals, anybody that's not an instructor that has to need access to issue and receive hall passes, that's what they get, the admin view. This is the teacher view. This is where 90% of all the work done in the hall pass system is in the teacher view. You see TA up there? You notice that, remember that TA badge that you saw? TA stands for teacher assistant or transient attendee. So a student is sent to my class. They swipe in. What are we going to do with them? They're not in. How do I swipe them back out if I don't have them in my classes? Well, if they're not in my list, they go to transient attendee, they swipe out, I can go into there, pick up their tile, send them back to their teacher. Or if it's a teacher assistant, they're listed in that that same tile. So that's what that is for. It only, oh, by the way, this is our 2013 version of what you're seeing. That was the 2010. This is the new version. You see we've updated the look and feel. Instead of having a section, a bar going down the side where you saw all of the different people out on hall passes, it's just going to actually put the indicator around their picture saying this person's out on a hall pass. And those lines, that will actually change color as well to indicate that they're going to be out. It's a nice update to the technology, don't you think? And that was the admin view. This is the teacher view. And we added the management page. The management page takes care of all of the different procedures that have to be run in the background to make this thing work. One of these days, we're going to get it down to really simple. As soon as the district lets us have 100% access to their SIS system, then we'll be able to just say, okay, it'll update automatically, and we won't have to do anything manual on the end. But we'll probably always keep this as a fail-safe, because we always want a fail-safe. So this works. Why? It works because we have a totally wireless campus, and we have a solution using iOS that our hall pass monitors walk around, and they can see who's in the hallways at any given time. So now you've got a very safe campus. We know who's supposed to be in the hallways. All done by students making their own campus safe and manageable. Well, remember me telling you about Zach? Yeah, as you can see here, the iOS version on the iPad. Zach was a sophomore. We ran into a major problem with this application. The two young ladies who are brilliant, and they're off in college, and they're studying computer science, they were working on this, and they could not figure out for the life of them how to post back to a SharePoint list from an iOS application. First of all, they were able to figure out how to get the data, but how to post back to the data, there was nothing on the internet. I don't care how many times we binged it. I don't care how many times we were in MSDN. I don't care how many times we were in Apple. Engineers. In fact, we actually called up Apple and said, hey guys, I get two free tech support calls. I'm using one of them because we have to be in Apple. We have to be able to work with this, we actually have to be a certified Apple developer. So we got two free tech support calls, and we called them up, and they said, what? What are you trying to do? We've never heard of that. What SharePoint? What are you trying to do? Pardon me? Yeah. So we were going like this. You know, I'm walking around in a snit going, oh, golly, by George, colorful metaphor included. And then one of the kids said, you know, Mr. Zuli, there's a kid upstairs named Zach Shea. He's got some applications in iTunes. I heard applications I was out the door, up to the chemistry class. Excuse me, Dr. Garbutt, may I see Zach Shea? I took him out of chemistry class, walked him right down to the guidance counselor, and I said, change his schedule. He's mine. He's going, okay. We took him out of his Spanish class. He took that online. He's been with me ever since. And he was the one that figured out how to do posting back to the SharePoint list. We actually had to get Wireshark out and figure out how it was requesting the data. So that's our iPad solution. But you see that nice little iPhone, iPad, iPod picture? 3 weeks ago, the day after the crew left that was taking our video, that was, you know, that were there interviewing my kids, I get a visit from an assistant principal. And they said, yeah, while we didn't want to bother you while all this was going on, but two of the campus monitors, they ran into a problem and they broke their iPads. And they're shattered. And they said that they really need something that's small and that they could slip in their pocket. So I said, well, do we still have that old iPad podcasting lab that no one's using? Yes. Zach, would you please design something for that? In 2 days, he took the code, rewrote it for the iPad, and even made it look better. So this is the same campus hall pass system, now in iPod, iPhone. And I really think this is, it's just, I mean, hold this, and it's so, it's really so cool. Now, giving props, we're also developing it right now for Windows devices, the small Windows devices. In fact, we're developing it for Windows 8. Our teachers are going to Windows 8, Windows 8.1, on both, really on Dell XPS 12s, and we're going to be giving, or a tablet, and we're doing it the exact same way. Understand, these are solutions that have been designed accessing. I only have a few minutes left, don't I? Oh, 15, we'll get out. Being accessed and doing this all through accessing data in SharePoint, just presenting it different ways. And that's what's important that we have to understand. You can get that data and do whatever you need with it. So, here are public-facing websites, also based in SharePoint. SharePoint Online, that's going to be the public-facing website for the Center for Advanced Technologies. The SharePoint on your right, the SharePoint 2003 on-prem, that's being designed, as it says, to replace a really bad Joomla site. The cool part is that the data that's going to be shown on those sites will actually be generated from the internal sites, so that nobody will ever have to edit the external sites once we get everything together, because we're going to have shared data across workflows. Hey, you want something to appear on the external site? Just click external on that calendar. Just click external on that announcement. Just click external. That data will automatically be copied over to the external site, and it'll be seen there. Nobody ever needs to access the external site. So that brings us to the owner of the information is responsible for getting that information out to the public, thus relieving the poor old web designer sitting there going, give me the information, I'll put it up there. We've heard a lot about a responsive web design. This is our solution. This is our new public-facing website. Come on. There we go. You see, we are a nice, simple, very clean-looking, modern website that has been designed with responsive web design. What you do see is a pure screenshot off of Illumia that we've actually superimposed on, but that was actually taken and used for this project. So, I want you to meet the developers. Here they are. The ages represented are the ages that they were when they started working with me. I didn't want to embarrass Zach, so I think I put here, do I have him up there at 14? Yeah, I do. These are the kids that have been working on this. I didn't have room for all of them, so I've taken out the kids that have graduated and moved on to college for a year or so, but these are them. A wonderful group, very diverse group, and I want you to know I do not look for the best and the brightest. I sometimes get them, but I don't necessarily want them. I want the student that's motivated to learn, motivated to be responsible, motivated to really become part of a team. The same type of people that you're going to be looking for your corporation, for your IT shop, for your districts. This is what you're looking for. They learn that through going through these steps. These students, everyone up there, has either gotten Microsoft IT certification in application development, MTAs in application development, web development, .NET development, and they're going farther. We've had some take the highest step up for SharePoint, with the highest SharePoint certifications that you could get. That's what they are doing. That's how they are graduating. These are the students that our future is like. and it looks pretty good in front of my, for me. Because I'm telling you right now, each one of them has to give me 10% of their first million, and that's how I'm going to retire. So, my last slide. Lessons learned in living. Students really do want to make a difference. You give them the right project, and they do incredible things, as you've seen. I wish I had time to show you every incredible project that they have done. But I'm just showing you a little bit. They really want to make a difference. They want to leave a legacy. Why do you think athletics are so much a part of our student life? It's because they know that the minute they step on that field, they're leaving a legacy. Every game won, every game lost, every record that they create, it's something they are part of. This is another way of doing it. They want to be part of it. Make the projects meaningful. Let it serve a purpose for the campus community. You can change that to let the projects be meaningful, let it serve the purpose of my organization, my corporation, my higher education. That's what's important. You will absolutely get the best out of your people, the best out of the students, if they know they are not just doing grunt work, that it is there for a purpose. Learn to listen. If there is a better way, if they feel that there's a better way to do it, then do it. Don't be so dogmatic. I cannot be so dogmatic that I just say, no, we're doing it my way. If they have an idea, let them explore it. Let them run into a brick wall. Let them knock down the brick wall. But let them explore it. Because it builds confidence. It builds creativity. It builds collaboration. It builds cooperation and co-creation. Yeah, this is a biggie. Invest in success early. Make sure you have the infrastructure to guarantee uptime and have a development farm. There's a reason for that. We rolled out the Campus Hall Pass system. We were working on this thing. We had tested it. It's time to go live. We go live. That day, it crashes. Why did it crash? Because Mr. Zuli grossly underestimated the load on the servers. So it comes to a screeching halt. All bam, 100% processor usage. It's just off the charts. And I'm going, oh, golly, this is bad. And then I start laughing. And the kids see that I'm laughing. So what's happening now? They immediately jump into action. They spin up front-end web servers. They spin up another application server in Hyper-V. We load balance the whole thing, get it all up. We'll load balance. First, we start with two. Nope. And I'm going, what am I going to do here? Then we start with three. Finally, we get to four. We get the round robin DNS going. Bam, everything's cool. Everything's good now. So if we would have actually done it the right way, we wouldn't have had that problem. So we learned. And lastly, Every situation is different, but there is no harm in failure. Our favorite quote, I have not failed. I have found 10,000 ways that won't work, by Thomas Edison. That is what we live by. That is what everybody should live by. That is what every teacher should teach, every IT shop should do, because it is important. Don't be afraid of failure. Our students are not afraid of failure, and because they are not afraid of failure, they try more difficult, harder, better, and they come up with just some amazing things. So, I want to thank you for coming. In the time remaining, I'd be happy to entertain any questions at all. And if you do have a question, I've been asked for you to come up to the mic and ask it. Anything's on the table at all, you know, even what those colorful metaphors meant. If not, thank you. You could all go to, oh, yes, ma'am.
Licensing. happens if you get this, well, you already have these amazing projects. What happens if you want to go?
The question in case, what about licensing? Can we give these away? Can the students actually take them? Well, believe it or not, we've had that discussion with our lawyer, and the school board attorney said, well, no, they are the property of the school, but we haven't figured out what the licensing is yet, so that's why I haven't been able to give away some of the codes for this. I've had several people, especially the campus hall pass system, they've asked if they can do something with it, and short of me just handing them over a prepackaged solution for free, that's all I would be able to do right now. Am I going to do that? I'm tempted to, but I also realize this might be a way to fund my program for a little bit. So as soon as the lawyers come to grips with this, we'll know. Anything else? Yes, ma'am. Well, food. It's amazing. High school students will do anything for pizza and donuts. As attested by Mark back there, he was there. They'll do anything for pizza and donuts. It's other than them seeing their work, you give them pizza and donuts, they're happy. And swag. They keep saying, did you find anything cool? I could, t-shirts, swag. That's what they're motivated by. Any other? Yes, ma'am. Well, that's a very good question. How are they learning all of this? Two things. By the time they get to me, they've had one full year of C#. And so that gives them the basics. A lot of them do some dabbling in their own. We're talking about some geeks here. They'll learn PHP. They'll learn Python. Yeah, I've actually had a student go on, oh, I'm going to learn Python. Okay. Good luck. But what usually happens, and our philosophy is calling it throwing into the deep end of the pool, the best way to learn is not by me teaching them. The best way for them to learn is by discovery and collaboration with their other peers who have already been through it. And if you could actually sit in the classroom and see how my seniors help my juniors, and then when they move on, the freshmen help the seniors help the juniors that have just come in, and help them work through all of this. They also go online. Bing is it is a favorite. Is Bing is our friend because they can find so much information to answer their questions. When it really comes push them to shove, I'll sit down with them and we will find the solution together. But I want them to exhaust every possible method of finding it on their own first, and that's how we do it. Yes, sir.
Yeah, what's their community and cohesion
after graduation? Very, very, very strong. I get help from old network assistants. They're constantly checking in to see what's going on with the network assistant program. Usually by the time they're juniors, in college, we see a little fall off. But the first 2 years, they're always coming back. And they're always helping. They're wanting to help. By the time they get to be juniors in college, they've got other things on their plate, and that's understandable. But we even get contacts from graduates that are long graduates. In fact, I just had an ex-student assistant who works for Industrial Light and Magic come back and sit down and talk to the new batch of student assistants and said, you don't realize what you're getting here. This is what helped me get where I am. So we get a lot of that. But it's a very strong group. Yes, sir?
Yeah, you said they work for SWAG. I have this University of Washington t-shirt. Get an app for?
Who do you want to design it? I've got one girl who wants to go to your school. Any other questions? Thank you. Yes, sir.
How do you deal with Microsoft license? How do you pay for all this?
Well, actually, we're doing nothing that isn't covered by our district's agreement, our volume licensing agreement. I think that's the term that they're using for it now. So it's all covered. We have that the complete campus agreement, our district agreement, that covers all of the technologies that we're using, including Visual Studio. And they all, by the way, they are all using professional development tools. Visual Studio 2013, before it was 2012, 2000, all the time, all professional development tools, and they all covered by our licensing agreement.
Do they have some sort of MSDN account?
Yeah, they do have MSDN and they do have DreamSpark. So, they'll get it through that as well. In the back, you had a question? iOS? The parents loved it.
Okay. Just in general, are they very supportive of you kind of changing
the direction? Yes, they are. And let's be honest that a lot of students don't know what they want to do yet. And by being in my program, they crystallize either they're going to love it or hate it. I get so many parents that are going, come back to me and say, thank you very much. Your class is exactly what my son or daughter needed. And it really does, they wish they could have gotten in earlier. Zach is a specific example. His parents are in IT, and he didn't want anything to do with that. But when I got him involved and on the development side, you know where he wants to work? He doesn't want to work for Apple. He wants to work for Microsoft. He wants to help develop Microsoft solutions for Apple that they can use accessing Microsoft products. So that was kind of cool. Because to this day, we still don't know of anybody that can post back to SharePoint through an iOS. We keep looking for it. We said it's not out there. I told him, you've got to patent that. Yes, ma'am. I do not have a time off. 8 out of 8, actually. I have students with me every hour of every day doing these things. I only take between 25 and 30 students to work with. And the reason I do, pardon me? No, per group. Yeah, I might have 5 per hour. I've got one class, they're 14 in. And I've got another class that there are only 2 in. The reason I do that is so that they could fit me in anywhere in their schedule so that there are no conflicts and they don't have to make a decision to defer something till later time and till it gets, except for Zach. So that's why I do it. And so I'm constantly have students. I constantly have supervision that has to be done. The good part about this, I don't go to faculty meetings because they're held during the day, and I've got students. I can't do that. But conversely, they don't. I'm technically classified as a coordinator other because I'm also the network administrator. So I'm the IT instructor / network admin / coordinator other. I fall in this gray area. But it really does benefit the school, and so they say, great, we're going to let this happen. And that's where it takes a leap of faith by the administration, by the district, and by other teachers. And it's amazing that it really does work, and everybody's very supportive.
That's what I was going to ask, is how did you get the
I actually, when I was hired on the position in 1994, I used to be an English and journalism teacher. And I was hired to take over the network administration program at the Center for Advanced Technologies. The two previous ones they had were straight of IT departments, and everything was not working. Everything was geared towards IT and not teachers. So they wanted a teacher to do IT and fix everything. So once we got, I got everything, I had this aptitude, and once I got everything together, I went to our director at the time, who eventually became our superintendent of schools, and said, I want to do this. I think this is going to be really spectacular, but I need your backing. And she said, okay, why don't we run it like a research class, and we won't assign any students to you until we know it works. That was started in 97. In 2000, I started getting my own classes. And if you go on our website, you'll see, you'll actually can see year by year how the amount of students in the classes have grown exponentially. Till now, I'm at 25 to 30 students. Well, I want, again, thank you for coming. I hope you've enjoyed it. And I want to, one other thing, I want to personally thank Microsoft and everybody at this conference for inviting me out here today. And there are a couple people I do really need to thank. I need to thank the people that have been with us since 2010, championing us and helping us, not giving us anything. We won't accept anything, but just advice and pointing us in the right direction. That's George Scott, our account rep, Mark Dunkel, who saw what we were doing, has championed us and supported us, and a gentleman by the name of Tony Franklin, who kind of pushed me into blowing our horn. And so I want to thank them specifically.
Thank you.
Thank you.